This is Sports Jam. I'm your host, Doug Doyle. My guest tonight was born in Ridgewood, New Jersey, played her high school basketball at Paramus Catholic, and went on to become one of the legends of women's basketball. Don't just take my word for it, as you can hear on this ESPN's Legends of Our Game, hosted by Robin Roberts.
At a time when the women's game was reaching new heights of popularity, Ann Donovan was its most imposing player. She was a 6'8 matchup nightmare, a rare blend of agility and the ability to block or chain shots that came her way. At Old Dominion, she won a...
Ann Donovan would become one of the greatest college basketball players of all time, winning a national championship at Old Dominion and Olympic gold medals in 1984 and 1988. She's enjoying a tremendous career as a coach as well. A WNBA championship in Seattle and leading the U.S. women's team to Olympic gold in Beijing in 2008. After a stint with the WNBA's Liberty, she's back in New Jersey now in her second season as head coach of the Seton Hall women's basketball team. I caught up with Coach Donovan earlier today in her office at the Rec Center on the SHU campus. And great to see you.
You too, Doug. Thanks for having me.
I get the best seat in town to watch your home games as the public address announcer for Seton Hall basketball. We're going to talk a lot about that, but I want to go all the way back to the early days for Ann Donovan, because you are a Jersey girl. You are someone who was the most recruited basketball player in this area at one point. Who taught you how to play basketball, Ann?
Well, you know, I actually grew up youngest of eight kids, so the first credit has to go to seven older brothers and sisters that beat me up pretty good in the backyard playing ball. And then I was fortunate enough to go to Paramus Catholic High School, where the legendary Dr. Rose Battaglia kind of took me and really developed me and worked with me and gave me a ton of fundamentals. So before I ever got to college, I was pretty squared away in terms of a fundamental player. I had a whole lot more development ahead, but at least when I got to college, my fundamentals were in place and the competitive juices were flowing.
Now, you were only 6'1 when you entered high school, is that correct?
Right. That's right, 6'1 when I entered and 6'6 upon graduation.
And then 6'8 when you were in Old Dominion. I remember it was back in 1983, and you say you didn't recall the game, but you came to Penn State, and I was calling a game for our college radio station, and you walked by me, and you were the tallest person I had ever seen. And I said, wow, I can't wait to watch you play. And you guys beat Penn State and had a marvelous college basketball career.
Thank you. Yeah, my sister played at Penn State, as you well know, so and I happen to grow a little bit taller than my older sister, but good matchups with Penn State and fondness for me because it was one of the schools I considered out of high school. So I always look forward to those matchups when my sister was on the team and then in 83 after she had graduated.
And somewhat of a connection for the fact that I went to Franklin Regional High School, where we had a terrific girls basketball team. Cheryl Ellison was part of that. She played at Penn State, and you had a chance to play along with her.
We did. You know, back then they had the Olympic Festival, and they split the country into four regions, north, south, east, and west. And the east was the dominant team at that time, and had the pleasure of playing with Cheryl on that east team along with my sister and many other good players. And we went to the Olympic Festival out in Colorado and won a gold medal. So I remember Cheryl very fondly and very well.
Basketball, was it always something that you enjoyed?
You know, I was pretty introverted young kid, and it was something I enjoyed doing because it was someplace I could go with my brothers and sisters and kind of hang out, do something fun, and kind of get lost in my own little world without having to be real social or communicate with a lot of different people. So I guess I found my niche there, and it was a family away from my own family that encouraged me to kind of plant my feet and see if I could grow and do something with the game.
Carol Blazejowski, who hired you as the coach of the Liberty, told me on Sports Jam that she learned how to shoot by watching boys and just kind of developing her own style. I guess the connection with your brothers and everything made you maybe have some of the moves that maybe young gals at that time weren't, you know, concentrating on.
It's true, because as you mentioned, I was very tall, and so there was not a lot of competition in particular before I got to college with girls my own size. So going against my sisters, who were very tall, and going against my brothers in the backyard definitely helped me with my skill development. And then a whole lot of credit to Dr. Battaglia, because she took this young kid that, you know, towered above everybody else in high school and yet found a way to motivate me and still develop my skills, even though I wasn't going against size. So I really credit Coach Battaglia so much with my development.
I heard you mention in an interview on your website for Seton Hall that it was the faith based and a small community that made you decide to go with Old Dominion.
It's true. It was just a smaller community. And again, I was pretty shy and introverted coming out. And I went to visit Old Dominion. It was 7 hours, 7.5 hours from home. So it was far enough that, you know, mom couldn't just drop in, and close enough that I could get home if I needed to. So it seemed like the nice area. And I also chose Old Dominion because at the time they were a powerhouse and they didn't necessarily need me to step in and play right away. They had a very skilled All-American post player, that probably the best post player nobody's ever heard of, Inge Nissen, who really was 6'5", very versatile, mobile, and I really felt I could learn so much from her. So she was a senior when I was a freshman, and I went there to really study under her and try to get some more knowledge about the post position.
And they had some injuries that actually got you into the lineup early, right?
It's true. They had one of the starters had torn her ACL and was out of the lineup, and so there went my plans of sitting on the bench for a year and developing. I got thrown right into the starting lineup and had to trial by fire, as they say, and so appreciative for that. Playing with Inga, Nancy Lieberman, and some great players at Old Dominion just to kind of advance my development at a much quicker pace.
You won a national title at Old Dominion. Is there a certain game or a certain time period there that you remember more than others to say, boy, that was a special time?
I remember playing the Russian Olympic team. Actually, this was 79-80 was my freshman year, and the Olympic team came through an exhibition, and at that time, nobody touched the Russians. They were just dominant internationally. And we sold out our facility, which was 11,000 people at the time, and played the Russian Olympic team to a very close game. And it did not win the game, but very close. And I think just that environment of it piqued my interest in the Olympics and what was ahead, possibly if I wanted to go the international route. So that was a really special time for me.
Times have certainly changed for women athletes. You have been on a heavy recruiting schedule here at Seton Hall University, looking for some players. When you were being recruited back in the day, you were the most recruited woman in America. So what was that like, and how difficult, being that you said, you know, you were kind of a shy person, to deal with that?
Very different time, Doug. You know, this was letters and, you know, phone calls. You didn't have voicemail. You didn't have cell phones. So it was a lot easier not to pick the phone up or to answer letters or not answer letters. So it was a little bit easier then to keep it at bay. And since I was pretty convicted that I wanted to go to a program where I could make a difference, where I could get skill development, it wasn't too far from home. I could sift through and weed through the 200-plus offers and really narrow it down. So if that and Donovan had to go through the recruiting process of this day, I don't know how well I could have handled it. Back then, it was a little bit easier to handle, for sure.
Give us a typical example of a week of recruiting and trying to coach this basketball team, have practice. It must be just really, really tough.
It's really interesting, and it's it gets your juices flowing when you're a struggling program and we're trying hard to get better. So we have to really focus in on recruiting and getting better talent. We have to focus in on practices every day so we can focus in on games and be more competitive. So, you know, for us, we have practice very early in the morning. We're 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock starts in the morning so we can get out and recruit at night. And sometimes it'll take me out overnight. Like I missed practice this morning, I'll be back on the court with them in the morning. But every evening, we're all out looking at games and trying to recruit and make sure Seton Hall's known in this area. There's not anybody in the New York, New Jersey area that doesn't know Seton Hall is a program that's scouring for players and hungry to build this program.
We're speaking with legendary basketball player and coach Ann Donovan here on Sports Jam. The Hall of Fame, you made the Naismith Hall of Fame in 1995, and you made the initial group in 1999 of the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. Does the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame maybe mean even a little bit more to you?
Gosh, it's tough because of who I went into that class with. I went into with all the people that I've admired, respected, and looked up to throughout my from the first concept of women's basketball for me. So going into that class, as you say, it was very special with the company I went in with. The Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame was something I never aspired to. I just never even thought that was going to be possible. And going in with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Cheryl Miller, who was one of my peers, made that class very special also.
I would imagine that that the Donovan household, when they first saw Ann playing basketball, they probably didn't necessarily know that you would still be in the game at this point.
That's really true. You know, I think, and never aspired to be a coach even through college. I went, played 6 years of professional basketball, didn't aspire to coach, and kind of fell into it by chance. When my basketball playing career came to an end, and I got roped into being a volunteer coach, which there's no such thing. Anybody tells you a volunteer coach in college is lying. There's no money. That's the only thing that makes a volunteer. But I found that I really loved it. I loved feeling like I could make a difference in these young ladies' lives. And having gone through a pretty long career myself, I felt like I had something to offer. So I fell into coaching, surprisingly so, and loved it.
When you're in the huddle here at Seton Hall, these young women looking up to you, I would imagine it's a lot easier to know that they respect you, knowing what you have gone through and the success you've had both as a player and a coach.
Yeah, I have to tell you, these kids here are just dynamite. I wish, you know, we all wish we were more talented and more competitive, but in terms of the quality of kids that we have on this team this year, there is no one better. Nobody works harder. Nobody gives more. Nobody wants it more. So when I go into those huddles, and literally they do look up to me, Doug, you're right. They're craning their necks to look up and try to give us what we're asking as a coaching staff. And, you know, you can't ask for more than that as a coach.
This is your second year here at Seton Hall. How difficult is it to play with another coach's recruits, and knowing that you haven't had a chance to have your full recruiting session, you know, go all the way through?
You know, it's been a transition. As you know, we lost several players this year. One that just knew she wasn't up to snuff in the Big East, and two that just didn't want to work as hard as we were asking them to work now. But in order to raise our competitive level in the Big East, the day-to-day wherewithal of this program has to change. Our work ethic and the ins and outs of everything we do, from video preparation to weightlifting to conditioning, everything has to be elevated. And that's not for all the players that had committed to Seton Hall. So the nucleus that we've got now, and we're 10 strong, as you know, with one of those is a walk-on. So we're really 9 scholarship players that are active right now that have all really bought in and are doing everything they can to make sure that they leave their mark on this program.
You have said you want to change the culture of women's basketball here at Seton Hall, and it is happening. We are seeing more people come to the gym. The UConn game, there was quite a student contingent there. Unfortunately, the start of that game kind of took the crowd a little bit out, but Things are changing.
You're right. It's so great to see students, and we can't take credit necessarily for that. We've had some great hires here. Pat Lyons is our new athletic director, and Kelly O'Neill is a new person here with marketing, and there's just a new energy within the athletic department that's reaching across campus to some of our students and out into the community. So, yeah, it's my hope, though, that those students that come and see the start of that UConn game don't get discouraged, that they keep coming back, because every year we will get stronger and better.
And it doesn't hurt that the men's team is having an outstanding season.
It's true. It's so nice to see them ranked and being talked about on ESPN when you turn the channel on, and seeing how competitive they are in the Big East. And, you know, we definitely are aspiring to do the same thing. So their visibility nationally definitely helps us as well.
Coaching in the WNBA, you won a championship with Seattle. You eventually came to the Liberty. What do you take from coaching in the NBA that you use on the court here at Seton Hall?
You know, I think it's preparation. It's the day-to-day preparation that you have to be when you're a pro. And, you know, college, unfortunately, it's much like a business and much like a professional organization. And that $45,000 commitment that our kids are getting from the university, there's a requirement that they give back their highest energy level, their 100% commitment to the program, and to be prepared. So I think probably the number one thing I take from the pros and bring back here is the level of preparedness that we are as a staff, and that we are as recruiters and counselors and motivators and all different aspects of the program.
It's not to say that universities don't always look for the brightest kids, but here at Seton Hall, the expectations are that they're going to be great students. You were a terrific student at Old Dominion as well, so you know what that's like. How difficult is it in the recruiting war when you know that there are standards for Seton Hall that must be met, and maybe some other university you're competing against might not have as strict standards?
It is difficult at Seton Hall, but I think the beauty here at Seton Hall, it's a smaller campus, so we can really give academic attention to kids that might not get it at other schools. You know, Matt Geibel runs our academic support services here, and he and his staff do a tremendous job with our kids and preparing them day to day, working with them to make sure they're on top of their studies. So, you know, yes, it's more challenging academically than many schools, but the support and the help here is very strong.
So you were out on a recruiting trip you just mentioned yesterday, a recruit in Chicago. What are you looking for in a student athlete here at Seton Hall and someone that you know will fit into your type of program?
You know, we can't go for the highest level kid right now. That's just the reality of where we are. So the next step of where we are is the motor. I always talk to my staff about the motor of the potential kids that we're bringing in. Do they have a high energy level? Are they active on ball, off ball? Are they in tuned in the game? Are they diving for every loose ball? Of course, the skill goes with that. But if they don't have the motor and the confidence and a little bit of swag, it's going to be tough to survive in the Big East. So I would say those intangible qualities are the first things that are drawing our attention. And then, you know, obviously, can they score? How do they defend? What's their basketball IQ?
Many coaches would say defense is the toughest to teach. But it seems like your teams have really stepped up defensively this year, and it's the offense that has struggled.
Yeah, you're right, Doug. In fact, 2 years now, we really struggle to put the ball in the hole, and that's why we have so much emphasis on defense. Other than Jasmine Crew this year, we really haven't had a consistent second or third score, although Brittany Morris has shown some bright spots for us.
Morris guarded by DeHenzel. Shot clock is at 7. Now 5. Out for Crew. Got her defender in the air. Will try the long jumper and knock it down just inside the 3-point stripe. Jasmine Crew, her first field goal. She's 1 of 2 from the floor. And the Pirates have scored the last 4 points. They have their first lead. It's 4-2.
So we rely on the defensive end, and I believe that everybody can play defense. If you have the heart for it and the passion for it and the discipline to do it, everybody can do it. And that's where I say, you know, this nucleus of kids, although we're small, we don't have a deep roster, these kids are really committed to that end of the floor.
Joey Waller here with Coach Ann Donovan. Coach, congratulations on the win.
Thanks, Joe.
And great defense, obviously, here today. You played against a struggling offensive team coming in. You certainly didn't want to let them change that against you, and you held them to 30 points.
Yeah, well, I thought at halftime we talked about really stepping it up, because in the first half we felt like they were either turning it over or they shot over 40%. So we pride ourselves on our defense. In the second half, we got after it.
The gal at Baylor, she's 6'8", so you have an idea of what Brittany Griner is going through. She's dominating women's basketball right now. What are your thoughts on her?
I absolutely love to watch her play because I love to see her development. You know, a year ago, she was pretty much just trying to feel her way. And you look at her this year, she's give me the ball away from the basket, back to the basket. She's just completely, as you say, dominating the Big 12 conference and has done fairly well against Connecticut at Notre Dame, too, in the out-of-conference schedule. So I really like to see her development. She's with USA Basketball now, so I expect that we're going to see Olympic gold medal around that girl's neck here in the distant future. So I'm very happy about her development, and it's nice to see. I get comments all the time, questions, compare yourself to Griner. There's no comparison. This kid is just an athlete that is just a complete dominant force at both ends of the floor.
You mentioned gold medal. You have several. What means the most about having an Olympic gold medal?
You know, interestingly enough, the one that I don't have is the one that means most. I think coaching the gold medal team in Beijing in 2008 is absolutely the most precious experience of my career. Getting the gold medals as a player was awesome. But, you know, the beauty of a player is you just go out and you play. Jump ball goes up, you do what you do. As a coach, you know, there's so much preparation and planning and stress and worry. So winning the gold medal with the Olympic team in 2008 is definitely I don't know that I can have an experience that'll top that.
Everybody always asks, where do you keep the gold medals?
Actually, right now, they're in my closet. I have moved recently and haven't really gotten to the bank and taken them to the safety deposit box.
Listening to Sports Jam on WBGO Jazz 88.3 FM and WBGO.org. I'm Doug Doyle. My guest is Basketball Hall of Famer Ann Donovan, coach of the Seton Hall women's basketball team. Coach Donovan also owns a remarkable 132-10 all-time record on the sidelines for USA Basketball.
You bring a wealth of knowledge not only here in the United States but in your international play. And as a player, you played professionally in Japan and Italy. What was that like for someone, as you mentioned, who has, you know, as an introvert maybe, still trying to deal with playing ball overseas?
Yeah, my first foray was to Japan for 5 years. And, you know, I'm 6'8", so there's not a lot of fitting in Japan. And it was not a lot of English being spoken either. So it was back in the mid-'80s where women's basketball was a new thing over there. So I would say tremendous growth. You know, you get over there, there's no email, there's no computers, it's all snail mail. You know, so it was at a time when I really had to grow up. And not just survive and take the paycheck home and prepare myself for the Olympics, but what a great experience from a cultural standpoint to live in this country. It was so foreign to anything I'd ever experienced before. It was really a great learning experience for me, and I relish it. I don't wish I had played in the WNBA. I don't wish I'd come around at a later time. There's not one experience I look back on and didn't really grow from.
Kim Hampton mentioned that she really worked on the language. Did you, when you were there?
I did. I had to learn how to speak it. I had one friend that I didn't meet until 2 years into my experience in Japan. So there was a lot of back and forth. And as you know, it's characters. It's not like you can pick up a dictionary and look up a word. So it was really a challenging experience, but a lot of growth.
So now here at Seton Hall University, what are your aspirations? What would you like to see done, and what kind of time frame are you giving yourself to make this team competitive in the Big East?
I'm very impatient. So right now I'm struggling to, you know, deal with my own expectations. My hope is that we will be competitive in this conference this season still. And although we haven't done that yet, I'm still hoping that we can advance to what we did last year. We only had one win in the Big East last year. I really want to add to that this year. And we're bringing in a big recruiting class next year, so I hope that we can take the next step. You know, my goal is to get to the NCAA tournament, and the beautiful thing about the Big East is it's a deep conference, so you don't necessarily have to win the Big East to get to the dance. So we need to get up into the middle of the pack, and I'm hoping within the next 2 or 3 years that's what we're talking about.
Playing against good competition on a regular basis, does that also make your team, you know, improve throughout the season?
It does. And, you know, we took on an out-of-conference schedule prior to the Big East that really challenged us and I felt like would give us confidence coming into the Big East. It hasn't translated yet, but I do think it will. I think that we've had some players get valuable minutes, you know, with the short bench, as I said. They've all picked up good game experience. So I just really am confident that it's going to translate before this season is through.
We're speaking with Coach Ann Donovan here on Sports Gym. You know, one thing that really impresses me about you is that as you try to change the culture, you do a live post-game interview for the radio station, for the Seton Hall radio station, that carrying the games after each game. And sometimes after a very difficult game, it's hard. It's hard to talk about it. But you've done an incredible job of putting on a face of determination when you leave the basketball court after some very tough losses.
I appreciate that. You know, I saw Coach Yao do that at NC State, and I really loved it. I loved to hear her take on what just happened in the game and her perspective. And it was just a class act, one of my mentors for sure. And so I wanted to do that at Seton Hall. And you're right, it is difficult. And after every hard loss, I remind myself it's not just the good times. You have to make these people embrace this team as it grows and it moves forward. And it's not always easy, but, you know, hopefully it's humbling as well. It keeps me balanced and keeps me, before I get into that locker room and talk to the players, it gives me a little more perspective.
We're with Pirate head coach Ann Donovan. We thank her for joining us following William & Mary's 61-54 victory this afternoon. Coach, I'll start with William & Mary in the second half. William & Mary had some success at the offensive end in the second half. What success did they have against your defense in the second half that they didn't have as much of in that first half?
Well, they went to work in the post in the second half. I thought our post did a great job in the first half. We really focused on our post defense and I think probably got content at halftime and didn't come out in the second half near as aggressive.
You're not a blamer. You're more of a positive approach right now, right?
I am. I try to be. You know, I hard on myself. There's not one game I don't look back and really critique. And as I watch that game tape, should I have done something differently and what will I do better next time? So I am definitely one that needs to learn from every experience, whether I was a player or now as a coach.
This might not be a fair question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Who is the best women's basketball player of all time?
Great question, Doug. Gosh, Cheryl Miller was pretty good and so versatile in all aspects of the game that I'm really impressed with her. Teresa Edwards is another one that was probably the most competitive player I ever played with. But there's a lot of other good ones out there. Diana Taurasi ranks right up there for me as well.
It's funny that when you mentioned Cheryl Miller, I think of the conversation that I always remember her brother Reggie saying. He came to the table and said something like, "Oh, I scored 35 points last night." And they said, "Well, Cheryl scored 100. What's the matter with you?"
Isn't that great? I know. I remember I've heard Reggie tell that story, and he still gets red-faced when he talks about it.
How about in the game today? You mentioned Diana Taurasi. Who are some of the players that maybe your players could look up to and learn some skills from?
Cappy Pondexter here with the New York Liberty, who's the girls have met Cappy and they've gotten to see her, and I think they all really take to her story. You know, she comes from Chicago, comes from a tough neighborhood in Chicago, and through her hard work and her passion for the game and her competitive juices and her just unfailingly work, she just works at the game. No matter how good it looks that she is, she's the one in the gym for the extra hours. So Cappy's one for sure. Diana, Sue Bird from Connecticut, Tamika Catchings, one of the all-time greatest on the floor and off the floor in terms of what she does for her community. I think all of those players are players that our players can see and see what they've emulated to, not just with basketball, but off the floor as well.
We're based in Newark, as you know. You've recruited in the Newark area some terrific girls basketball, Shabazz. Will we see some more gals from the Newark and out in the surrounding areas here at Seton Hall?
I sure hope so. We're working Shabazz hard, trying to get Dee Dee's girls over here. University High School, we've been over there as well. So there's a lot of great kids in this area, which is another reason I took the job at Seton Hall. We don't have to go far. You know, this is just a hotbed for girls basketball from the beginning of girls basketball. And we'd love to see this roster filled out with Jersey players.
You mentioned Dee Dee, Khadidra Simmons, who's out all year with an injury. If you had Khadidra in the lineup, she would have made a big difference on this squad.
You're absolutely right. You know, she had all Big East as a freshman last year and had done so much work in the offseason, came back better than last year. It would have moved Crew over to the scoring guard position, which is her strength. It would have given us more offense, and our defense would have been better as well. So. It's disappointing, but the silver lining there is we'll have Dee Dee 3 years when this program really starts to grow.
Do you think the Liberty's been playing at Prudential Center? We've had the great fortune of having C. Vivian Stringer at Rutgers, and now you here at Seton Hall. People should embrace women's basketball a lot more here, and there are some great minds that are shaping the young gals of New Jersey.
I think you're right. And, you know, for a long time, Doug, I mean, Vivian's well-known, well-respected with a great reputation, but there's been so many great coaches in the state. That's why girls basketball has been good for so long. So I hope so. I hope that another season at The Rock, the Prudential Center, will help grow women's professional basketball. And, you know, people need to get down there and see what a great product that is. And it does hopefully filter out into the rest of the colleges and the high schools in the area.
Anything else that you'd like to let our listeners know? What do you do to relax?
Yeah, I'm a girl that loves the beach. Jersey Shore has got my name all over it. So I'm a big family person. I moved back into this area to spend more time with my family. So you're going to see Coach Donovan just completely chilling out with a good book and family. And that's what makes me happy.
Can we get you listening to a few jazz tunes every now and then?
I love jazz. Love to. Yep.
Coach Donovan, great to have you on the show, and continued success in your career as a coach, and much success here at Seton Hall. I know you're working really hard to make it happen.
Thanks, Doug. Really appreciate you.
Sports Gem is a WBGO News production. Our executive producer is Thurston Briscoe. You can check out all the podcast versions of the show by going to wbgo.org/sportsjam or find Sports Jam with Doug Doyle on iTunes. Join me next Wednesday night at 7:30 for another edition of the award-winning Sports Jam, when one of my guests will be longtime newspaper reporter Guy Sterling, who will take us through the history of some of the best teams and players in Newark, as well as his time covering Super Bowls and the Kentucky Derby. Until then, I'll see you at the game.